Good morning. Now, I'm going to say good morning indeed to Malu Hara, who's going to be speaking to us in a second or two. I want you to listen to this clip here and keep in the back of your mind this whole issue of people being gay and the blunt question that is sometimes asked, can a lesbian be cured?
Those who practice homosexuality, which was me, and also drunkards and a bunch of other things that I would have been. I realized that I was in the will not enter the kingdom of God lineup, and it scared me really, really bad. And then I read verse 11, and it says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. I realized that there are people in the same place, and they were saved, and they were changed, and that God could do that for me too, and that I needed that. I could hold on to my sin and reject God, or I could turn to Him.
That is one sad piece of commentary. There's no other way to describe it. A DUP councillor, Thomas Buchanan, has actually shared this particular content on Facebook. It's a young woman in America who is lesbian and who, because she's been reading the Bible, believes that she has now given up her attraction to other women because it is so sinful. I want to speak to Malu Hara. He's actually the deputy leader of the Green Party, and he's been a victim of homophobic abuse in the past. Mal, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
It is very sad listening to that young woman. There's no question about that. If you're in a dilemma in your life where you have to change who you are because you believe the Bible says so, that must be a very difficult journey to be on.
Well, I think, unfortunately, Frank, it's not supported by any evidence. You know, the organizations relating to counseling and psychotherapy have been emphatically clear over the last number of years that they do not support this idea of reparative or conversion therapy, the ridiculous idea that people can change their sexual orientation through therapy or through prayer. And there's no support at all for that. And really interestingly, the British Association of Christian Counselors have also supported the wider organizations in that they do not support this type of therapy either.
So what do we say to people who want to go on the very difficult journey, who want to change from being attracted to the same sex?
Well, not supported by any evidence, and in fact the evidence relating to this type of faux therapy is that it causes further harm and damage, and it exacerbates risk of poorer mental health outcomes amongst people who attempt it, other risk-taking behaviours, and risk of suicide and self-harm, Frank. So what we'd be encouraging people to do instead is to seek support or counselling from organisations that are accredited and that have specialist training in dealing with these issues with people who are struggling to accept their sexual orientation. And the wider point, Frank, is that, you know, we still live in a society that is homophobic or transphobic, and positions being of minority orientation or gender identity as not as good as being heterosexual or cisgender. And that message permeates into LGBT people's minds, and that causes what can cause some of this conflict.
How difficult is it for people who are gay, considering we live in the society that is Northern Ireland?
Well, I would say, Frank, there's never been a better time to be an LGBT person. You know, generally, in terms of equality, we have had huge advances over the last couple of decades in terms of legislation. Societal attitudes have moved hugely. I think if you just look at some of the indicative polling around equal marriage in Northern Ireland, that's up to 3/4 of people support that. So, you know, things are better than they have ever been, but there's still a lot of work to do in terms of addressing homophobia and transphobia.
What does it say about where the DUP find themselves at the moment? They have an openly gay councillor. It's the first openly gay councillor that the DUP has allowed to stand to represent them. And at the same time, in the same party, they have a councillor who is posting on Facebook a video that promotes a woman being rescued from the sin of being a lesbian.
Yeah, I think the DUP are trying to ride two horses on this issue at the moment. And I think, Frank, when we talk about the DUP and these issues, what we have to bear in mind is that the DUP opposed decriminalisation. I've never recanted from that position. They have opposed equal access in goods and services and never recanted. They opposed civil partnerships and never recanted. They opposed gender recognition and never recanted. They opposed, you know, equal age of consent. They have opposed every single piece of legislation related to equality on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. And now they're trying to pretend that they're only opposed to same-sex marriage. And for a lot of people, that feels like pinkwashing. And I think the party has to make a decision. It is either a party that supports LGBT people or it's one that historically its position has been that it doesn't. And I think they need to make a choice.
Well, there are still people, not only within the DUP, I should emphasise, or not only within the Free Presbyterian Church, from which the DUP would find a lot of their support, that believe in this Save Ulster from Sodomy campaign. They can come from many arts and parts, including from within the Catholic Church.
Yeah, and I don't think it's synonymous with one faith or not. You know, and I think actually people are perfectly entitled to those views if they're, you know, they're religiously motivated or it's a particular piece of doctrine and how they interpret it. But they do not have the privilege of having that particular view enforced in law, which is the current status where we are at the moment. Equal marriage is one case in point. But if you look at relationship and sex ed in schools, if you look at IVF access for LGBT women, you know, there are people who may be opposed to that, but currently the position is that they're privileged in that their views are reflected in the law, and that's something that we want to see changed. And as a Green Party, we've been leading that call for a number of years.
You mentioned the Green Party, as I mentioned at the beginning, on the day that's in it across a lot of Europe and the UK. It's a day of celebration for the Green Party. Would you expect to see a rise in your former leaders? Vote? Would you like to see a rise in Claire Bailey's vote during the course of today?
Yes, of course, and I think the Green Wave has splashed all across Europe, and it's fantastic to see. You know, voters are really prioritising the climate emergency, and, you know, as a party, we've obviously been leading on that issue, but we're delighted to see that others are coming on board, and we want to work with them. I hope to see a significant increase in Claire's vote today for the party, and, you know, that will be reflected if you look across the Britain. 7 new Green MEPs are re-elected just yesterday, and, you know, we're looking at maybe 3 in the south as well. So there's a strong Green group from these islands which are going to be going to Europe and prioritising the climate emergency.
And who do you expect to come third? Martina Anderson winning, Diane Dodds being there as the DUP representative. This is what the pollsters are suggesting. Who do you expect to get that third ticket?
It's an interesting one, Frank. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what first preferences are and then how the transfers work out. But, you know, we Greens, we did well across Northern Ireland a few weeks ago. We felt that we would improve our vote, but maybe not to the extent that we did. And I think pollsters didn't expect the Greens to do as well as they're doing across Europe. So we might see some surprises today, and I'm hopeful that we do.
Okay, Mal O'Hara, who's the deputy leader of the Green Party, thank you very much indeed. 0289033105. With regards to the reason we had Mal on, the DUP councillor being criticised for sharing what he sees as anti-gay content on Facebook, he's obviously, the DUP councillor is against the idea of people being gay, and that they should go and maybe consider this cure of sorts that is up for discussion. Whether or not it's available or not is a different thing altogether, but it is up for discussion. How do you feel about this continually being brought to the fore here in this part of the world? 0289033105. This is a DUP MLA, Thomas Buchanan. He's been heavily criticised after he shared a video on Facebook which promotes being rescued from the sin of homosexuality. rescued from the sin. Your opinions on this bank holiday Monday morning, always very welcome. Got to say good morning to Elaine, who's listening to the programme. She said she was at the Maritime Festival over the weekend, thoroughly enjoyed it. Elaine Jacobson, hi to you, Elaine, and hello to Andy as well. Tuned our way, as they say. The ships are beautiful. We are blessed here with this bird's eye view from City Keys too. And tomorrow morning on the programme, we'll be visiting the newest addition to City Keys too. That's the Centra store that's opening right down on the water's edge. So if you're ambling around, or indeed you're in the vicinity, or you're a worker here in the General City Keys area, or if you're just ambling by the Big Fish or the bridge there, and you want to indeed get your snacks on board, Centra, they are opening here on the ground floor of City Keys 2 as and from tomorrow morning. Right, O2, we'll be live from it, by the way. We'll be live from the programme, we will. 0289033105. We'll have a proper look at the Maritime Festival just after 10 o'clock here on the programme. And if you were there and you were experiencing everything that was going on, feel free to share your experiences with us. Andy is talking about Snow Patrol last night. Couldn't get a drink at Snow Patrol. He said he queued for 2 hours to get a drink. He says, I was there the whole way through Foy Vance and quite a bit of the Two Door Cinema Club, and I still hadn't been served at the bar. Was it really that bad? Because others are saying they had a great night, 35,000 people there, Bono making an appearance as well. So how was it for you? Feel free, do let us know. 0289033105. Did you have a night to remember at Ward Park 3? Most of the comments so far this morning have been about the DUP MLA. He's been criticised this morning, Thomas Buchanan, for sharing a video on Facebook which promotes being rescued from the sin of homosexuality. That is a quote. That is a quote. Rescued from the sin of homosexuality. I want to speak to Pastor Paul Burns from the Sandy Row, who's got an opinion on this. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you keeping?
I'm very, very well. A lot of people are sick, sore and tired of terms like conversion therapy, homosexual cures. They're suggesting that the tortured are being tortured. People who've been discriminated against since man fell in love with man or woman fell in love with woman, continue to be discriminated against, are the citizens of Northern Ireland who are driven by one or two lines hidden somewhere in the Bible going to have the upper hand forever? These are some of the questions I'm reading here from texts that are coming in.
Yep. I really appreciate that people want to say that. But first of all, the ministers of the gospel will always stand for what the Bible says. As I said before, Frank, it's a bit like when you buy a car manual. If you want your car to run, you put oil in it as they recommend in the manual. If you don't, the engine seizes and the car breaks down. Well, the Bible is the instruction manual of God to his children, and he has certain rules. Now, it's the same. People say that the church campaigns against homosexuality. The church preaches against adultery, fornication, murder, lying, false witness. You know,
Paul, let me stop you there. Give me the list again. Mm-hmm. Give me the list again.
Well, the Bible's quite clear.
Yeah, but give me the list. Hold on, because I want to jot these down. You said adultery, mm-hmm. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What was the next one?
Adultery, fornication, murder,
fornication.
Lying,
hold on. Fornication, murder, lying. No.
Lying, bearing false witness.
Yeah, okay.
Coveting your neighbor's possessions.
Okay, that's theft, okay. Yeah, but let me stop you there. Hold on. There's a reason I wanted to write them down, because I wanted to get a handle on them. Adultery. No one's going to come on this program and say that adultery is acceptable. Adultery is something, whether we've done it or not, whether we're going to do it in the future, it is something that should not be happening. Okay, adultery is wrong. Yeah. Fornication, very similar under that umbrella. So we'll allow it to go in there with adultery. Now murder, mm-hmm. You know, murder. We don't even have to discuss. Yeah. We don't even have to discuss that one. Exactly. Lying. You know, if I say to you, you know, the fellow in my office supports Arsenal when I know rightly he supports Chelsea. That's a lie, but that's hardly a sin. So bearing false witness. Let's take that a bit further. Let's say for perjury, make it a bit
bit more serious. So lying in court, yeah. I'll accept that one. And yeah. and theft is wrong. Uh-huh. We should not covet thy neighbor's goods. But in with all of that, you have put being a lesbian, being a gay mm-hmm. man, being in love mm-hmm. with a person of the same sex. Mm-hmm. Like any right-minded person thinking like an honest citizen of 2019 mm-hmm. would object to that language, Paul.
Well, you see, the reason I put it is that, and I'll tell you why. The Bible is quite clear from the beginning of Genesis that it says that God created man and woman to come together. And that is a position the church takes universally that stands on the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that is not to say that we are homophobic. That is not to say we incite hatred, because I have helped people in the past who have been victims, and I've come on your radio when people have said things that is derogatory to the homosexual community and could create hatred and could create a false impression. It is a choice, Frank. Now, the Bible's quite clear. Everyone has a choice. You can choose to follow God's rules or you can choose not to follow God's rules. But the church cannot be accused of being homophobic or creating and inciting hatred or being against the homosexual community for standing up for what it actually is told to declare, which is the message and gospel of Jesus Christ, that God loves everyone.
Yes, Paul. Yes, okay, Paul. But you can choose whether or not you're going to commit adultery. Mm-hmm. You can choose whether or not you're going to be a fornicator. You can choose whether or not you're going to murder yeah. someone. You can choose if you're going to tell yeah. the truth in court. You can choose if you're going to be a thief. But you can't yeah. choose who you fall in love with. You can't choose to be heterosexual.
I've had this debate. I've actually read books on it on both sides because I try to be as fair as possible, Frank. I've read the books backed by the church against homosexuality and the books backed by the LGBT community and different writers and the middle of the road. But even in a discussion I had with Mr. Tatchell, who has been a campaigner for years and got a recent award just there recently for his campaign for the LGBT community, for the many years he's campaigned, he himself has said that there is no actual scientific basis. It is a choice. You make that choice, the same as a person makes a choice to leave if they wish the LGBT community. We're not saying you should persecute a person because they're LGBT. We will still declare the truth. But if a person inside the LGBT community says they no longer feel that way and they want to go into a relationship with a man or a woman, or they say they want to go to church, they feel they've been led that direction, then surely they have a right equally to those in the LGBT community to declare their witness. I mean, no one's persecuting the LGBT and saying you cannot state your opinion. You cannot state what you stand for. You know,
I understand exactly what you're saying, that people should have the right, if they feel mm-hmm. they do not wish to be a gay person, they should have the right to find a way not to be gay. If that is how they feel, they should have that right. But why? Paul, the million-dollar question is, why are they asking themselves the question? Why are they saying, oh, I don't want to be gay, I want to be straight? They're asking themselves the question because yeah. they're under such psychological torture and pressure from society, including from what you cherry pick from the Bible, to ensure that yeah. they feel uncomfortable, that they feel guilty, and that they feel like they need to change. That's cruel. Mm-hmm.
Well, here's what way I put it. It's not cherry picking from the Bible, because it's in the Bible. You know, sir, it's the same as I've said before about getting back to the car manual. The man selling Renault, the man selling Ford, can only say what it does. He cannot add on extra things. When I made a choice to become a Christian, Frank, I didn't come under pressure. I mean, you know me of past. I mean, I drank like a fish when I was a young man. I went to clubs even when the Troubles was on. I looked at the women and everything else. But I suddenly felt an urge that I wanted to follow God. And I felt that what I was doing was wrong. Now, I knew what the Bible was there, and I read the Bible, and I heard it, but I had ignored it for many, many years. But then I made that decision. I made the decision to become a Christian. Free will. I made it. No one forced me. No one put a gun to my head. No one says to people, you got to go to church. No one says you got to listen to what's on the satellite TV. You make a decision. The same as you make a decision just recently in the box to vote for Haber. And by the way, I'm coming back from a conference. I don't even know who's won the European elections, but people would have made a choice. People would vote for Sinn Féin, the DUP, the Unionist Party, SDLP, the Green. You know, that's a democratic choice. That's a freedom choice.
Yeah, sure. But Paul, I accept that you made a choice somewhere along your life to change from whatever way you were leading your life to how you lead your life now. But you shouldn't. Surely you shouldn't make other people feel guilty as to how they lead their lives when they are loving lives, when they are lives where they're expressing love for people that are their partners.
But you see, I say that as a freedom of choice. I say what the Word of God says, and people can make a decision. People can say, right, we're still going to stay there, or people can make a decision, the same as I made a decision to follow Jesus because I decided that I felt that I had been living a life of sin and that I wanted to change my life. And that's what people do day and daily throughout the world. It is a choice mechanism. God doesn't put a gun. People say that's why he gave free will. And even in a democracy, that's the one thing about the church. Even in a democracy, should gay marriage be introduced tomorrow? I will not leave this country if gay marriage is changed tomorrow. I will still be Paul Burns, Pastor Paul Burns. I will still preach what the Word of God says. But I will recognize what the democratic will of the people has done if it is introduced. That, and the same as I would vote against it. And I will give my opinion from the pulpit on it. But in the end, people have a freedom of choice. And the LGBT community has to realize, and so also does the politicians, that freedom of choice is the church's right to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the same as it is the LGBT right to say that they don't agree with that. The same as it was our right, the protest outside my friend's church a couple of months ago when he had a film about a man from Malta who had actually become a Christian, and he come from the gay community. The LGBT people organized the protest. Democracy. They're entitled to do that. But the film still was shown and people still came to see it. That's democracy too. People can make a choice.
Yeah, but Paul, as a Christian, as someone... But you're talking about choice. As someone who follows Christ, as someone who follows the person who is believed to be the most understanding and forgiving person that ever became man, do you not see... that you are preaching towards people who are in many ways vulnerable, people who are 13, 14 years of age, who are discovering that they are attracted to the same sex. They are hearing you speak. They are feeling guilty. They are feeling pressurized. They are feeling tortured. And some of them are feeling suicidal. Can you not see how drastic your actions are in what you do?
Well, I can see people that have suffered, and I've experienced people who suffered. In fact, Frank, I've given many children who's come from a homosexual community in the past a big hug when they've walked in and dealt with the problems of bullying. But in the end, I cannot change what the message of God is. I cannot rewrite the Word of God. And Christ himself said that he came not to change the law, but to fulfill the law. And that includes everything from Genesis right through to the end. And so I cannot change, even if I wanted to change certain things, I cannot change it because I am a human being in this earth that God created. The Word of God is God-inspired and God-written by God himself. The same as someone as an author writes his book.
Okay, one final point on that, Paul, because we are out of time. And, you know, you're an honest man. You're an honest man, okay? And I want you to answer this question honestly, because I don't have the proof in front of me, but I'm sure there'll be someone listening who will. Did Jesus Christ ever refer to homosexuality?
Jesus referred to marriage because he didn't refer to homosexuality for the reason being, and I'm speaking from coming also from a Jewish perspective, Jewish teaching in my family. He didn't refer to it because he talked about marriage, because marriage was what God talked about. And the reason he didn't refer to homosexuality was, as I go back to that point, he said, I came not to change the law, but to fulfill the law, and that or not a scribble will be taken away, which means that what his father wrote was the law that he was fulfilling. So therefore, he had no need to comment on it because he was speaking to a Jewish audience at the time, and he knew what they knew, and he knew what was written. So therefore, no one was going to refer to that because it was already put down by God that he considered it a sin.
Yeah, but he very much bought into adultery being wrong and fornication being wrong, murder being wrong, coveting thy neighbor's wife and thy neighbor's goods. But he never said anything about homosexuality. It's just, the reason that I'm thinking about this is, you know, maybe it wasn't such a big deal to him after all.
No, it was because he emphasized on marriage and the importance of treating a woman with respect and what it meant when you came together, because marriage is a very strong thing. When you put a wedding ring on, Frank, it has no beginning and no ending. And that stands for God's love for his children and his church, and the way it is in marriage when a man and woman comes together. And that's why Christ was so strong on the divorce issue and emphasized it and how a woman should be treated, because he says next to God, he says a man is to love a woman higher than himself.
Okay.
So that's the emphasis God puts on the unity of marriage. So that's why Christ spoke so much about it.
Okay, Pastor Paul Burns, thank you very, very much indeed. The arguments will rage forever on this issue. Well, they certainly will in this part of the world.